Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain to pray. And what follows is this beautiful mystery that Jesus, and this is the truth for us, as Jesus prays, he changes. When we pray, we change. Something about God's presence begins to dwell within us. And oftentimes that shows on our faces. Hopefully prayer brings us a sense of stability, a sense of peace, a sense of trust in the Lord, so that my frown can be turned upside down, you know, that I become a sort of person that displays the love of God on my face. Jesus is changed in such a way that he becomes transfigured. His appearance becomes dazzling white. And Peter and James and John are just taken up by this. And there with him is Moses and Elijah, the greatest of the law and greatest of the prophets. Moses, of course, was the one who led the people of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt into the promised land that God had given to his people, where he was to establish them, where he was to love them, where he was to provide for them, where he was to be their God, and they were to be his people, that they were to belong to him. And what's this conversation? I mean, what an amazing opportunity to see Jesus in conversation with Moses and Elijah. And it says that they spoke of his exodus that Jesus was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. They spoke of Jesus' exodus, which is unique. Because Moses was the one who led them out of the exodus. Jesus stands here as the new Moses who is going to lead them out. The word exodus in Greek literally means the way out. So there's something that Jesus needs to accomplish in Jerusalem to lead us out. He's going to show us the way out, but that just can't be the only movement, that he's going to deliver us. He's going to help us to escape whatever it is, that he's also going to lead us into something new. The way out of our own misery, the way out of my own discouragement, the way out of my own pity parties, the way out of my own broken attitudes and habits, my sinful temptations. Jesus wants to lead us out, but then lead us into a place of freedom. The night of the Last Supper, Jesus says to his apostles, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He says, "I am the way. I am the way out." If you're currently suffering, laboring under, I don't know, unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment or despair, it's like, Jesus is the way out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then the apostles are like us. They're demanding a sign. Philip says to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. We'll be satisfied if you just show us the Father." And Jesus has to say to Philip, "Have you been with me for such a long time? The Father and I are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus is our way out. And so you have Peter and James and John who are on the mountaintop in prayer, this beautiful moment, and they're asleep, like all of us. We doze off. We get complacent. And as soon as they see the Lord, it says they became fully awake. They saw his glory. They become fully awake. It's like we so often slumber on the Lord, and we end up turning to other things. If you're anything like me, this Lenten season, I have already broken my Lenten resolves. Guilty as charged, okay? Because it's hard. It's hard to stay consistent. It's hard to remain in relationship. It's easy to slide into complacency. It's easy to just live and lead a mediocre existence. And we slumber. But an authentic encounter with the Lord every day keeps us fully awake. And the fruit of that for Peter, after being able to see the Lord transfigured, Peter begs him to remain. "Master, it is good that we are here. You are doing something good here, and I don't want this to stop. Master, it is good that we are here. Let me make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, so we can stay here, so that we can bottle this up, so that we can capture this. Like, I want more. That's what happens when we have an authentic experience of the Lord's love. When we actually have to rely on him, when we have to entrust ourselves to him, and when we see him show up, the desire that should well up in our hearts is that we want to remain with him. We desire that he abide in us. I've been thinking about this a lot recently. Like, just that word abide. So, like, Jesus on the night of the Last Supper says, remain in me, abide in me. And we just find so many ways to make ourselves feel secure. At one time it's this thing, and at another time it's that thing, or that person, or that relationship. And I have to have like 100 things going just to make myself feel at peace. We have these restless spirits. Like, I'll be watching a show that I really want, and then all of a sudden I've got like 100 apps on my phone open. And I'm like, what am I even doing? We've got this restless spirit. But the day of the Transfiguration, this cloud descends upon the Lord, and Peter and James and John are caught up in it as well. And from the cloud we hear this voice, this is my chosen son. Listen to him. This Jesus whom you have been following, this Jesus whom you've been praying with, this Jesus whom you've seen work miracles, this is my chosen son. Listen to him. And for Jesus, that becomes this place of rest, a place of abiding, that he gets to entrust himself to the Father entirely. So it doesn't matter what the Pharisees say. It doesn't matter what the Sadducees are going to do to him. It doesn't matter what the Roman soldiers, how they're going to lead him away. But that Jesus knows that he's chosen by his Father. And that's his place of security. And for us too, it's like, do I know myself to be a son or a daughter of God? Do I know myself to be chosen? Do I know myself to be loved despite my weaknesses, despite my faults? Am I begging that Jesus would stay with me, would remain with me? Do I desire more? Or am I happy in my own complacent, mediocre self? We can go to all these other things, the 100 things that we need to do to keep us feeling safe, feeling secure, feeling, entertained. But none of it is lasting. None of it endures. And we need, every time we come to Mass, to ask the Lord to come close to us so that we can hear that same voice that Peter and James and John heard, that they witnessed Jesus receive. This is my chosen son. This is my chosen daughter. You belong to me. We continue with this Exodus journey. Jesus is leading us out of our own fallenness into a place of freedom. But he tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not a method. It's not a procedure that we go through. Jesus is the way out. No one comes to the Father except through him.